Welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into Studio B. The B stands for, I guess, the burger? Bob of Lou Bob.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I guess burger.
Bombs.
Bombs.
Bombs. Ooh, by I like burger.
Bombs. Three bombs for the White Sox today. Lance Lynn didn't give up any bombs.
By burger, beets, and Bobbert.
All right, there you go. Welcome into Studio B of our CHG offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm Sean Anderson, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Alongside me is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchternWall23. He is our CHGO White Sox community leader. Thank you to Joey Spathis for producing us today. After
you're welcome, Sean.
a very exciting Pulse Draft Lottery that we fucked up.
So I guess this is the second. It's the second time in 2 years that Bulls fans have done this, which is, I didn't know that.
Oh,
that's fine.
Or second time in 3 years, because I guess it would have been a couple years ago that the pick swap with Orlando, but we're getting made fun of a little bit.
We're a foolish bunch. Oh, well.
I think that'll go viral. It'd be nice to laugh at ourselves every once in a while. The Hawks went viral for their celebration that was warranted, and we all here were hugging. Joey jumped into my arms for the Bulls giving their 11th pick to the Orlando Magic.
I did, okay, and I fully jumped into Big Dave's arms, and he was carrying me for at least, you know, 2 or 3 seconds. And so
we can do that next year when the White Sox are in the draft lottery.
Sure.
Hey. We're coming to you live after a White Sox win. Take that out of your mouth. What are you doing? This team's now 15-28.
Here we go.
I mean, the Guardians.
Minnesota's looking behind them. It's like, what does that sound? It's the White Sox? Only eight and a half games behind us? Oh, shit. Here they come.
Thundering bats of every batter 3 through 9 on the lineup. Don't ask 1 to 2 to show up to their job because they really can't.
We're good. We're good.
But they're going to bat 1 and 2 no matter what. We're coming to you live after a White Sox winner. And it was a pretty emphatic one. 8-3, right? Was
yep.
The final? 8-3. Home runs from Gavin Sheets. That one was a 3-runner. Home run from Jake Berger. That was a 2-runner. And Luis Robert, why not? A little solo shot. Which one was your favorite?
My favorite was the Gavin Sheets one. It continued the momentum they're having in that inning where you saw it. Tim got on, and then you get Andrew Benintendi hit into a GIDP. I think you called that. And the innings kind of sucked out of you. In a regular White Sox inning in a season this year, you see Luis Robert ground out weakly to somebody. But Mike Napoli, Jesus Christ, that's an old one.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Zunino.
Mike Zunino is like trying to reach for the ball on the plate, apparently, and Luis Robert hits a good portion of his hand and some of the glove and takes it right off and gets catcher's interference. Then they continue that inning. Yoan wants a single, which Luis Robert was stealing on, and he scores from first base because he has blazing speed. And then you get the single, I think, from Andrew Vaughn, and Gavin Sheets does not miss a stitch of that ball. A garbage pitch by Shane Bieber. I think he was trying to do either a cutter or a backdoor slider. It did not do either of those two things. It stayed up, and Gavin Sheets put punishment to that ball. That was the deciding factor because, yes, getting that one run was awesome by Luis Robert, but you knew the Cleveland Guardians would come back no matter what. When getting the 4-run lead in that inning, I was like, okay, Lance is pitching the way he is. I think our bullpen is solid enough. 4 runs might do it for the White Sox. If it doesn't, I think they still have some offense in their arsenal for the rest of the innings to get some more runs, which they did.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
which one's your favorite?
Victor makes a good point. Berger's now at 9 home runs. If he keeps that pace, he'll be at 30-ish by the end of the season or so. I think he's under 100 plate appearances and has 9 homers already.
Well, he could, you know, get more if he literally was getting actually more at-bats, not batting him 9th in the order.
Possible.
It's dumb.
It is dumb. And we won't actually have a reasoning on why that happens because, again, that's a trade secret. That's the secret sauce that the White Sox are cooking up just for themselves. But Luis Robert just hit his 12th home run. That's a very important number because he hit 12 last year in 98 games. And in 2021, in 68 games, he hit 13. So he is one away from tying his career home run total, which is, I think, huge. I mean, you could just kind of see the growth of the player. I know that maybe we don't want him, or maybe, you know, you specifically don't like the way that he's taking the route to improving, but nonetheless, we can't deny and look at the numbers. Four straight games with a home run. He's crushing mistakes, and he's doing it with consistency at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm convinced that Vinny's had a report yesterday in our off day show that him and Pedro have been working on pitch selection and when to swing the bat. Early in the game, you saw Shane Bieber trying to get him going out for his slider off the plate, and Luis spit on one or two of them. You know, he's not going to do it all the time because, you know, a hitter's a hitter, and he probably has his weaknesses. And you could see him kind of laying off those pitches. But when a ball is in the zone and a pitcher makes a mistake, right before that pitch was thrown, I was 3-1. I was like, Luis Robert, get the best swing you have ever had a swing before. And he aired it out, and he crushed that ball. The at-bat before that, it was a 3-1 pitch, a fastball that was above the zone. He swung at that one and whiffed on it. And I said immediately, like, I'm fine with that. He's trying to go for the downs. It didn't matter where the ball was at. I like that type of aggressiveness, especially where the game was at. Let's get an extra run, get an extra tally. And he finally did that with that solo home run he hit. And it was a no-doubter. We heard the sound and the trajectory. Luis Robert's on one, four home runs in a row, four games with a home run. I said if he hits one tomorrow, he'll tie Anthony John Pruszynski for the team record with five games with a home run.
Do you know what he currently is in the lead of, though?
What is he? RBIs for the White Sox? Runs for the White Sox.
Well, I don't know about that.
I know home runs for the White Sox.
Not RBIs.
That's Andrew your man, Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, Andrew Vaughn has 30. Luis Robert Jr. has 27. Luis Robert leads the American League in home runs. 12.
Whoa.
Yeah. Aaron Judge with 11. Devers with 11. Adelis Garcia in Texas with 11. And Brett Rooker out in Oakland, who is the only guy that's currently still playing, who could possibly tie Luis Robert with a home run, has 11 as well. So right now, as we speak, Luis Robert currently leads the American League in home runs with 12.
And he's that. He is that. Like, when you say one of these names doesn't fit with the others, it's not Luis Roberts. It's that Rooker guy at the end. But Luis Robert should be at the top with Aaron Judge, with the Giancarlo Stantons, with the Gallows if he ever gets up there. Because he has that much talent. You see how effortless that home run was today. Just easy swing, crushed through the zone, and that ball was murdered. Every time he puts bats a ball, he is a threat to do some things. And we saw, I think, one of his most underrated things is his base running today, where I just talked about that single by Yoan Moncada. Literally, a single. Luis Robert, after the guy in right field dove for the ball, is like, I'm in. Easily scored that run standing up because he's got that blazing of his speed. This is why I hold him to the standard that I hold him to, because he is this good all the time. And if he can be this good with staying healthy, the sky's the limit for him.
And shout out to Gordon Beckham. We got 15 likes right now. Make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. No expert says, serious question about Robertson's strange streak. When he looked god-awful, he was literally swinging at everything no matter how out of the zone it is. Why do pitchers even throw him anything in the zone?
Thank you.
Well, I mean, there's an easy way. I mean, we could look at the home run. He got 3-1.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is he spit on pitches. He had eight balls that he took today. So credit to Luis Robert. He's not swinging at everything. So, that I mean, just a credit to Luis Robert Jr. there. I mean, that's one thing that I don't know if that work is, you know, improved that, but he is being more selective. He is getting into hitters' counts. And then when they throw a mistake, he murders it.
Yeah. I still wouldn't, and no expert, you're right, I would not throw him a strike. Yes, I know he's been patient, but the worst he can do is a walk, and I would face the guy who's behind him. Right now, yeah, hell yeah. I'm facing anybody else in that White Sox lineup. Yeah, Andrew Vaughn, too. I'm facing him instead of Luis Robert.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we just showed his stats on the off day. It was like he's batting .422.
Yeah.
And I think that's only gone up in the past, you know, month. I wouldn't want to face Luis Robert Jr. right now. And, I mean, it's the same thing. And thank God the White Sox have needed this. It's a thing like, you know, Vinny Pasquantino. It's a thing like Byron Buxton. When they're in zones, you really can't throw anything in the actual zone to them or they're going to hit it 300-plus feet. And that's really what Luis Robert's in right now. It's exciting to see that. If pitchers don't want to throw him or balls, right, and they just want to throw him strikes, That's fine with me.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, he'll just keep hitting balls 500 feet. I have no issue with that.
He punishes balls. Oh, my God.
He's so fun to watch.
He is so fun. We finally got one of those guys. I mean, I know we've had him for a while, but Sean just said his career high in home runs is, what, 13? That's because he doesn't play a lot. He has never played over 100 games. Imagine if we get 125. I'm just asking for 125. I'm not asking for the whole kit and caboodle of 150 or 162, which you can't do anymore because he missed one game. But I'm asking for 125. I think we'll see phenomenal numbers. And I think he can carry a team with his bat alone. And we see what he does with the glove already.
Yeah, and we see what he did with his feet. I mean, again, getting on base because of Zunino and just flying around the bases. Thankfully, Pedro Grifols sent Luis Robert Jr. On that play too. Get him in motion. Yoan Moncada making that contact and allowing Luis Robert to score all the way from first base, just using that insane talent, speed, and it's great to see him healthy and playing 42 out of the 43 games so far. I'm, you know, fingers crossed that that's the man that stays healthy, because, you know, the other guys can drop like flies and go on the IL for 10 days, 15 days, but if that guy goes out, you know, it's no longer Tim that's stirring this drink. It's Luis Robert. I mean, he's the whole damn drink. Love watching him play baseball. We're going to take a quick break. And I honestly do think, too, like, the second he breaks the streak, send him down to Charlotte, yeah. Right? Where's Chris Johnson? They need to teach him how to swing. You know, they need to teach him how to command. Oh, wait, he's on the major league team now. Anyways, let's take a quick break, and we'll tell you about our great, great sponsors, and then we'll talk about Lance Lynn's day. We'll be joined by Vinny Duber. And I'm surprised. I don't know if you are. We didn't see any Garrett Crochet tonight.
I mean, That would have been a good game to get him in with a nice 4-run lead and then 5 at the end. But, you know, Pedro likes to go with his people. Probably had a plan to go with the people he went with today.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Vinny Duber about that in just a second when he joins us later. We're going to take a quick break, let you know about Pins and Aces. They're the official golf apparel partner of All City and CHGO. We love our Pins and Aces gear. I know you've gotten your package recently. Yeah. I was just wearing their hat yesterday on the show.
That's literally what I was looking for.
It's out there. And we usually get tons of compliments on and off the course when we're wearing it. They're family-owned and golf and apparel business company, and they make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and even our favorite beer sleeve. It's an innovative product that allows you to store 7 beers right inside your golf bag and keep drinks cold the entire round. So check out pinsandaces.com and use code CHGO to receive 50% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. And you can get lost on their website. They got a lot of great and different routes to outfit your golf game, whether you're trying to look for a driver cover, maybe something for your top, right? Your bottoms.
Yeah.
Maybe
I had a polo shirt.
Your head. You got a polo shirt?
Yeah, it's a nice quality. It's not that run of the mill polo shirt. It's one of those polo shirts that you're like, okay, this is I'm taking it up to the next level. This is how you golf. This is what golfers wear.
You play golf in.
Yeah, not just a regular polo shirt that you wear to like dinner or with your mom, which I did. It's their actual polo shirt where the golfers wear. We got some flexibility, got some air blowing through it. It's nice.
Make you feel like an athlete.
It does.
And hey, maybe you want to watch these athletes. Maybe you want to watch, people at the peak of their performance. You got to get in without stressing. And that's why you're going to buy tickets through Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be this stressful. Game Time is the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you could stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. Herb has gotten the Game Time guarantee. He found tickets in the same section and row for less when he was out in Atlanta, and Game Time credited him 110% of the difference within
12 minutes.
Boom. And you can get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. So snag the tickets without the stress of Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed. Yikes. Man, I try to go so fast. My brain goes faster than my mouth. Shout out to Dougie. All right. Dougie tried his best to will a home run for Andrew Benintendi. He comes in with the super chat. Great win. Benintendi disappointing all of White Sox Twitter. Great show as always, gents. Herbie, Sean, Wins, and Vinny DeVito. Wait, I can't read. And Vinny Doobies. Oh, Doobs.
Oh, Doobs. Yes.
Gotcha.
I don't know. It's from here, it's small. Can you make that a little bit bigger, Joey? Sorry, my bad. Just the comments bigger on this. Yeah, those. Thank you. We're old men. Well, I'm an old man. Sean's young. Yeah, it's perfect.
I'm young, but I also have the eyes of a 45-year-old man.
Much as I am, almost. Dougie and the guys, I love those guys. At the Chicago Bums. Sports Bums, they had a nice tailgate this weekend, which I missed. I'm out of money, guys. The Cincinnati and Kansas City thing, man. Drain my finances. Got to wait till this weekend. I was going to go to today's game because Brian Malone, one of the heroes of the game, got an honor today. He invited me out, and I was like, oh, man, I wish I can go, but had to be here. But I want to salute to Brian Malone. Salute to the Bums, Dougie, my guy Baloney, Johnny, and HBIC, too.
There you go. You want to talk about your $75 million man?
Oh, my God.
The man you bet was going to hit 10 home runs?
Jesus, this man has to hurry.
Bennett's saying Benintendi's earning every single one of those $75 million. The first year is only worth $8 million. So, like, you know, is he just trying to live up to the contract? Like, is he just trying to be, like, mediocre? Not really overperform yet?
Don't they say one war, one win is worth $8 million on the open market? He's trying to get there. That's what he's trying to do. Because if he gets the two or three, he's like, hey, man, that's way too much. Way too much production I'm giving you guys. Giving you almost fucking $24 million worth of value. So calm down. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. Ground balls every 5 seconds, singles to death, GIDP today versus Bieber. Even though he came in, I guess, really hot versus Bieber, he got two hits off him. But for a corner outfielder, you're supposed to have some power. Just skosh a little bit. Right now, I would beg for the 5 home runs he hit last year. Beg for 5 home runs from our left fielder. Why do we always got to go through this? Why can't we just have a competent left fielder and a competent right fielder?
It's because the GM is the same.
Yes, that is a correct answer. But, yeah, I'm just so miffed that he is not even close to the player that we were promised, which is not a lot. It's not a lot we're asking from Andrew Benintendi. Around a 300 average, in the 350, 360 on base, and maybe get to 400 slugging. That's an average-ass player, and he can't even be that. He's not close to that, and he's still betting second. As you said, Pedro's fucking stubborn as hell. You got your second-best hitter hitting eighth, and Gavin Sheets is in the running for your third-best hitter, even though I know you're going to say Vaughn is probably better than both those guys. But they're hitting at the bottom of the lineup, and you got this guy getting the second-most at-bats in your lineup and doing the stuff that he's doing today. Good. Two hits, but we're process over results. Hit a ball over the fucking fence. Get a double every once in a while. Something. This is annoying. This is depressing, too. It's not like these people are pitching him tough. Shane Bieber was getting crushed today. He got hits on top of hits even before that inning started. But Benintendi is just not putting it all together. But I think your theory about the hamate bone that he broke late in last year might have some credence to it because there is no power there. And Tim has no power either. Which is very odd.
I don't know what's going on with TA7. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. And, you know, Benintendi, as bad as his 272, 333, 338 looks, TA coming in with a 257, 299, and 307 slash line is not better.
That's at the top of your lineup every day.
Yeah, I mean, we're really coming in on a full year since Tim Anderson has hit a home run. I mean, and you know, he is known for playing subpar defense. Made another error tonight, overthrowing Andrew Vaughn. Like,
I think he made two errors. I don't know if they called that Jimenez or Rosario play an error, but too tough, patting the ball. And Rosario gets down that line, and of course he beat that out. In live, I saw that Rosario beat that out in the umps right there. He said, safe. Come on. I mean, he said, out. Come on, out.
Yeah, one actual error credited on the score sheet, so I think the Rosario one was a hit. He had one hit today, so I would say that's going on. But, I mean, you know, Tim's supposed to be making great contact. Tim's supposed to be getting on base. He's supposed to be a guy that, you know, is kind of ultra-aggressive, not striking out, and when he is, you know, it's because he's put three balls in play already. Like, I'm concerned about him. It seems health related, but it also seems like he's lacking confidence.
Yeah, he can bust out of it tomorrow versus Peyton Battenfield, whatever the hell his name is. But what is he bringing to the table right now? The defense is struggling. the bat is struggling. He can't steal bases. Like, when he's on first, I think Jason said when he first got on, he's like, Tim's got 5 stolen bases. Those are all before the injury. Mm-hmm. He has not come close to even attempting a stolen base today and or this on this other side of his injury. And he's probably still hurt, as the White Sox are wont to do, to get him up and running on the major league field and do his rehab that way. And I think he should be sitting out if he's not 100% healthy, because what does he bring to the table? If he's bringing regular Timmy with the bat, baby, let's go. Otherwise, he's a detriment right now.
Yeah,
he's not bringing anything extra to the team.
Well, and I mean, they are in a tough spot. Like, who the hell
is Alvisandras is out. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to call up Lenin Sosa, and your middle infield is going to be Lenin Sosa and Hanser Alberto?
I mean, Hanser Alberto is hitting much better than Tim is right now.
Yes, he is.
Much better.
Not trying to slander Hans got Alberto, who went 2-for-4 today. Just saying, I don't want him playing second base, let alone shortstop, or Lenin Sosa playing shortstop. Let's jump into the big bastard.
Oh, yes.
All right, 7 innings for Lance Lynn tonight. 7 hits allowed, 3 runs, 1 earned, no walks, 7 Ks, only 1 earned because Tim Anderson made that error, allowed a guy on base. And then I think, who was it, Kwan ended up driving in the runs, I think. But what did you make of Lance tonight? I thought that he possibly could have pitched a complete game, but the 7th or the 8th mm-hmm. actually got away from him a bit there.
He was attacking the zone. First pitch strikes were on his agenda, and he was filling the zone up with strikes. It felt like he didn't give a damn where, you know, if Cleveland's going to attack him or if they're going to try to hit this. He was hitting his corners. He was hitting the cutter was crisp today, which I think is vital for him because he doesn't have a lot of variations in his. I mean, you know, he has a fastball, forcing fastball. He's got his sink. He's got his cut. But those are all fastballs. They're around the same 84 to 94 mile per hour. Like, he throws his changeup and curveball very seldom. So he's depending mostly on fastballs, and he had his location right. And it does help that you don't have Jose Ramirez, but they still got some actual hitters in there, and he shut them down pretty easily. I didn't feel anything today was off. He even pitched over airs. Andrew Vaughn missed a foul pop. The next pitch struck the guy out. Then you have that in the inning after that where Yasmani and Andrew come together. Yasmani drops a foul pop. He pitches over that, strikes him out. That's what a teammate has to do. Sometimes your team is not going to field the ball correctly. Same thing with Tim's air. You saw Lance's reaction like, ah, come on now. But then, you know, he kind of tried to bear down. But at that time, I think it was over 80 pitches. It's tough to reach into the gas tank for more after you've already done that multiple times in the game. But the big bastard, I was asked today and multiple times, is Lance having troubles with the pitch clock? I was like, no. People who talk about the pitch clock, and this is for Tim and for Jose Abreu, they're using it as an excuse for their poor starts. I think Lance will never use that excuse. He's been all right when, like, the game where he almost threw a no-hitter, and this game, he was crisp again. So I don't think the pitch clock is an excuse for anybody. They're playing under the same rules as everybody else. If you use that excuse, I think you're just finding something. If Tim was having a good year, he wouldn't hate the pitch clock. It's just you're struggling where you haven't struggled in years past. So you got to find what's the difference. The pitch clock becomes the enemy.
I agree. I have not seen Lance Lynn struggle because of the pitch clock. I mean, he is one of the quicker workers with the pitch clock. It's not like he is consistently using the full pitch clock to his advantage or to try to, you know, build up for that pitch. I mean, he's consistently working, delivering, and rocking. I think it's just an excuse. I think he's just not located. That's what he's been really open about. He's just made bad pitches. Mm-hmm. Today he was better. Feel free, Joey, to flash that one full screen of all the pitches he threw right there.
Oh, yeah.
These are the ones that were put in play from Lance Lynn, and you can see that, you know, he worked a lot of the edges there. A nice green changeups, low down on the zone, nice sinkers inside to hitters, consistently spotting his fastball up in the zone, getting some swings and misses high and above the zone as well. He was just locating today. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. Lance Lynn, when he pitches well, is a good pitcher. And he has this top side where Dallas Keuchel didn't.
Yeah. I mean, he's been 3 out of the last 4 years in the top 5 of Cy Young voting. The man knows how to pitch. He understands the game. He's not a thrower as Michael Kopech is currently. He's a pitcher that has run into some hard times this year, as you said. And he said in post-game interviews, I've been leaving too many balls in the middle of the zone. And when they know it's just a fastball that you're going to be throwing and it's in the middle of the zone, they can gear up for that and get it real deep. And that's what they've been doing on this year. Lance, you saw with that chart, he's keeping him on the corners. That's where he's been living his whole career because he knows if you're going to be zoning on a fastball and a sinker that's low and away on you, all you're going to do is ground that to the shortstop or ground that to the second baseman. It's going to be an easy out.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I think he also got 7 strikeouts, too, tonight. So he was got that strikeout pitch, too, because his fastball, his four-seam fastball, crisp.
Yeah, 11 whiffs on 47 swings. 22 called strikes, 34% called strike plus whiff percentage. Major league average usually sits around 29%. So Lance Lynn was throwing strikes, which we love to see. 21 balls in play, 87.6 average exit velocity. That sounds like Andrew Benintendi batting.
Always a nice side swipe for Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, you know, let's go out to guaranteed right field. I would never side swipe this person. Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter. At Vinny Duber, he's our CHGO beat writer, and you can read his latest piece at allchgo.com. You all good there?
Yes, there's some noise out here in the hallway.
You need a second?
I hope all the cleanup from the suite level is going okay. I think they'll get it taken care of.
Maybe you can go interview him. I mean, maybe that's the hard cracking content that we need. No?
We'll see if it gets to that point. Okay. A few more wins and it won't, but a few more losses and maybe it will.
All right. Well, we just started talking about Lance here. We kind of mentioned that he's consistently been open about what hasn't worked. He hasn't made the right pitches. I assume that today didn't end the way that he wanted to, but probably credited making the pitches tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all about the control this evening. You know, no walks and no walks by anybody on this White Sox team tonight. I think second game in a row, Pedro was here we go. But but yeah, Lance obviously had a tremendous evening. He attacked the strike zone. I asked Pedro what was different, what looked different, because obviously the results were different. Anybody can tell that. What looked different to him? Aggression, he said. Just pounding strikes, throwing strikes. This is a guy who's done this a million times. He doesn't need to figure out how to pitch to major league hitters. He knows. And if he goes after him, he's going to have a lot of nights like tonight.
You're out there doing some Foley work in there. Doing some nice sound effects there. But I saw a great game again, of course, from Luis Robert. And the adjectives are getting weird. I mean, like, we're just running out of words to say about this guy. Today, with the first to home on a single from Yoan Moncada, just the low flying there, and then the 3-1 count where usually you see White Sox batters take those pitches, and there was no take in that one. He absolutely lifted off. Are the guys kind of getting, not sick of it, but like falling out of words to say about Luis Robert, just like, oh my God, this guy's on our team?
Yeah, and I mean, listen, this has happened before, right? He's not only has he had these hot stretches in his career, but this is the kind of stuff that we heard all throughout that, you know, weird at-home spring training before his rookie season in 2020. This is the kind of stuff that we heard when Tony La Russa showed up, and it was, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm seeing this guy and all the tools that he has. And it's the kind of stuff that you hear from everybody when you talk about Luis Robert Jr. Most of the time, it's about the athleticism and the tools. Now we can finally talk about the results on the field, and you're able to see the home run barrage that he's on right now. When that ball left the bat tonight, I think I made an audible noise in the press box because it was just a rocket. He's really, really dialed in right now. And hey, even some luck allows him to get a rally going for this team, right? He gets the catcher's interference call, and that just opens the floodgates for that 6-run fifth inning. So, and again, too, like you said, the scoring doesn't start without him taking advantage of there being 2 outs, taking off for second base, and then a regular base hit allows him to get all the way home. So, the tools are out for Luis Robert, right? At the beginning of the year, we were talking about the defense. Now we're talking about the bat. You're seeing it with the running tonight. Everything is manifesting here for Luis Robert Jr. And again, there have been times like this in his career. You go back to maybe the first month of that 2020 season, but particularly after the injury, after he comes back from the injury in 2021, the kind of MVP numbers he put up after that. Now you're looking at a guy who might get a crack at a full season here. Sean, I know you always like to bust out the fact that, you know, he's nearing career highs in some stats and, you know, home runs in particular, but, you know, it's just play the games. Just play the games and he's going to rack these up, it seems like. I mean, he leads the American League in home runs as of right now. That's pretty impressive. You know, if the rest of the lineup can come to life like it did tonight, I mean, how big were the home runs by Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger? You know, and Pedro pointed to Roberts as being a big one, but of course they were already winning at that point to get that big lead, to build that big lead. They scored 17 runs that last game in Cincinnati. They played since seven games after that. They averaged less than 3 runs a game. To go out tonight and be able to score 8, to have a big inning, to put up a crooked number, to keep the line moving, that's things that we haven't seen a lot of from this White Sox team this year. This was an impressive showing. Doing it against a team in the division, a team that won the division last year, adds a little zip to it too. But listen, they got to have a lot of nights like tonight if they're going to crawl back into this thing. But they're showing that they're capable of it. It's just now whether or not it's going to happen with the frequency they need it to.
You shared with us yesterday that Pedro has been working with Luis on his pitch selection, and we saw it today, the fruition coming through today, where he worked a couple 3-ball counts. And so credit to Pedro. I know we here sometimes just crap on Pedro or the coaches on the White Sox, but credit to Pedro and credit to Luis Robert for working the plan. And then you see the great results we're having now. So that's what I'm talking about. When you get an actual good plan together and then the player takes that plan to the field and you see the results working out for the player. And then I know Pedro's probably way too humble and also still in the game to say, man, see what I can do. I'm going to take a bow, but I want to give him credit.
We'll throw Jose Castro's name in there too. Obviously Pedro's the manager. He's, you know, he gets the credit for being the boss, you know, when things go right. But Jose Castro is the guy that is the hitting coach who's working with Luis, you know, kind of up close and with the fancy machines they got back there in their new, tunnel laboratory back there that they like to work with. So make sure you throw Jose Castro's name in there, too, when you're giving out the kudos when it comes to what Luis Robert Jr. has been able to do.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here and probably talk a little bit more about Luis Robert. Something will come up. I mean, this guy's stealing headlines left and right. And we'll talk a little bit about the returns or possible returns of players on the horizon, mainly Vinny's article from earlier today. Want to let you know, though, about Shady Rays. It was a beautiful day earlier today, and then it dropped like 20 degrees, but the sun was still out. So take on the sun with gear built to last.
The pneumonia front, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Pneumonia
That's what happened today, the pneumonia front. I read about this online. There's a name for the thing that happened that caused it to drop 20 degrees in like 10 minutes, and it's called a pneumonia front.
Who's getting pneumonia?
It gives anybody pneumonia, but that's just what it's called.
That's a confusing name.
Take it up with the weather folks. Take it up with Mike Trout.
I'll take it up with this guy. This guy's a meteorologist.
Oh, me?
Yeah, Herbie Sunshine.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I am. Only in Kansas City. I got to go back down there. Okay.
All right, anyways, take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather or maybe the pneumonia front ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. So you can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. And if you don't love your Shady Rays, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your back. So exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code CHGO for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized shades. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, ShadyRays.com and use code CHGO. Also want to let you know about FOCO. We don't have any bobbleheads in here.
Cubs people got our bobbleheads out there.
They're out there. They gave us some set decorations. Lovely Tim Anderson one has the facade of 35th and Shields, some red line signage as well. They have a Vinny Duber one where he was out in the cactus roaming along with the cacti. FOCO has donated some awesome pieces for our sets, and you can go show them some love at FOCO.com. That's FOCO.com. Get fitted in the best sports gear around. They have hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, aloha shirts, straw hats, polos, bags, everything you need for a game. Again, go to FOCO.com, FOCO.com, or click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use promo code CHGO for 10% off. Vinny, your recent article at allchgo.com had me thinking that Garrett Crochet was going to be used tonight. And, you know, especially with the score, I was kind of surprised we didn't see 45 back in there. What's the rollout plan now that he has been activated?
Yeah, well, I think the idea is just that he can do a lot of different things right now. We remember them stretching him out when he was down in the minor leagues to try and get him to be able to throw more than just one inning at a time, do a couple of ups, as they call him, you know, as they call them, you know, come out after sitting down. But also is a guy who might be used just in a high leverage situation. Or he's a guy who might be used when the matchups dictated. Obviously, he's a left-hander. And, you know, Aaron Bummer, who is the lone active lefty in that bullpen right now, is a guy who has really struggled. So, you know, Garrett Crochet can come in those situations as well. I don't know if he's going to remain a guy who kind of has three or four different jobs out there. I asked Pedro Grifol earlier today, oh, so is he kind of like a Swiss Army knife guy? And he's and his response was, well, he's prepared to be, and we'll see how it shakes out kind of thing. So maybe they have something specific in mind or that they hope plays out. But right now, I think they're just happy that he can come in and do kind of whatever this bullpen needs. Obviously, right now, what this bullpen needs to do is pitch better and have a lot of a lot more nights like they did tonight, a lot more nights where they're not giving up runs. You know, we've talked about it, the ERA right up there at the very top of the league, or the very bottom of the league, however you want to call it, you know, right there with a team that's horrible like the Oakland A's. So, you know, this is a bullpen that needs help, and they got it in Garrett Crochet, and they might be they should be getting it soon in Liam Hendricks as well.
Even people talk about how satisfying it is to get a win in general, but specifically against a top pitcher like Shane Bieber, who came in with a sub-3 ERA today and, you know, has treated the White Sox sometimes very poorly, especially everybody who is not Jose Abreu usually. Did they talk about, man, getting six runs off of Shane Bieber has to feel good and getting him chased before the fifth inning?
Well, I think they'd tell you they want to do that every day. And I think they'd want to tell you, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. They want to be able to do that every day to dig into a bullpen right quick and really make a team kind of jump through hoops to get him out. But yeah, Shane Bieber is usually really good against whoever. He's usually really good against the White Sox. And for them to be able to do that to him tonight, Lance Lynn was guessing, maybe relaying what he saw, that it might have been the most hits Shane Bieber's ever given up in a start. I'm not sure if you guys saw that in your post-game Twitter scrolling, but if that's the case, wow, a really nice job by the White Sox, obviously, and to hit two home runs off the guy, to have that inning that they had against Shane Bieber. It only kind of adds to how impressive it was that this offense was able to do that in that fifth inning.
Yeah, talking about the offense, one big thing that we brought up, and I know it's your favorite topic, Vinny. I mean, you are going to be on the edge of your seat for this one. We're talking lineup. Andrew Benintendi and Tim Anderson. Yeah, I know, right? they were our topic yesterday. They were our headline yesterday, Tim Anderson and Andrew Benintendi. It just kind of less about the actual lineup, because I don't think we're going to see any changes, but it does seem like Pedro Grifol, whether it be Andrew Benintendi, Tim Anderson, Luis Robert when he was struggling earlier in April, or even Reynaldo Lopez, Pedro Grifol is going to stick by his guys, no?
Yeah, and I think the idea here is not necessarily like, oh, I'm so loyal to them that I don't care if they're not playing well. I think the idea is he needs these guys. He needs them to figure it out if this White Sox team is going to do what it wants to do. And that goes for back when they were 0-0, by the way, back when the hope was that they were going to be a team that would win this division and maybe compete in the postseason. Now, the goal when they're 15-28 is to dig out of this hole and hope for some sort of miraculous turnaround. But if any of that is going to happen, it's going to happen with Tim Anderson. It's going to happen with Andrew Benintendi, and it's going to happen with Reynaldo Lopez, whether he's closing or not. So he needs these guys to get right. And the way you get somebody right is not by demoting them, is not by, trying to pull a bunch of different levers and hoping that something works. Maybe sometimes just sticking with it and letting them figure things out is the way to work. I'm sure that's not going to come as reassuring to fans who are living in this moment to moment and are like, that guy's not getting the job done. Get him out of the top spot in the lineup. But Tim Anderson needs to be in the top spot in the lineup if this team is going to succeed, because it means he's going to be succeeding. So I think that's the way you can look at it and explain it. You don't have to agree with it, but I think that's a pretty good way to explain that is if you give up on these guys in mid-May, what good are they going to be to you in July and August and September? So that's how I look at it, and I think Pedro would say that he needs these guys to get the job done and to figure it out.
Did the research. Yes, this is the most hits that Shane Bieber has ever given out in a start. He gave up 11 hits September 15th, 2019 to the Minnesota Twins, but the White Sox got him for more and fewer innings. Yoan Moncada, like, he, as somebody up in the comments has said, has come back from injury. He hadn't skipped a beat. Like, it's good to see the guy just be the guy this whole season and how valuable he is to this team, both with the glove and with the bat. And it's good to see it all come to fruition now. And hopefully he's past all the injury issues that he had in the past. But I just got to give him some credit because he's been nothing short of great this year. You know, we can hit more home runs, but whatever.
Herb, you shouldn't have paused because I unmuted myself right when you paused and then that happened, but then you kept going. If you would have just finished your thought, we would have avoided all of that being on the podcast. Anyway, listen, they needed Yoan Moncada back, didn't they? And he's showing why. He had a great World Baseball Classic. He had a great little start to the season before he went on the IL, and he's been very good since coming back. Again, it's just you're seeing what kind of should be obvious. We've talked about it certainly enough times by now. You get all these guys in the lineup and something decent starts happening. And I think that, Aloy is going to be the final piece of that puzzle. That is the hope, obviously, as you've pointed out, Herb. This team has a tendency to kind of trade guys on and off the IL, but Aloy comes back to that, and it's even more so. I'm not saying it's going to be 8 runs every night like it was tonight, but it's the ability to do that. And when these guys aren't in the lineup, that offense loses the ability to do that. It didn't have that ability when it was without Aloy, without Yoan, without TA. Now those guys are coming back, and you're seeing that ability come to truth.
You bring up Aloy Jimenez. I know that obviously it's a part of your piece, so go check that out at allchgo.com. But what can you provide about Jimenez, who's recovering from his appendectomy?
Yeah, so up until now, the only thing he's been cleared to do is walk. We saw him kind of speed walking around the warning track the other day here at the rate. But apparently, as of today, he was cleared to run and do some other stuff, according to Pedro Grifol. He ran around the outfield, or just ran around today, and then came in and ran the bases a little bit. And Pedro says the hope is that he will be able to start swinging a bat by the end of the week. So right now, it looks like it's possible that it could be a quicker comeback than that 4 to 6 weeks that was initially outlined for Aloy Jimenez. But of course, it's something that's going to be a day-to-day monitoring of and a day-to-day evaluation. But he's doing well right now.
I hope that appendix wasn't like Samson's hair. Like, he needed that appendix to be the guy who's a crushing boss, or that was causing all his injuries. So get that shit out of here.
You don't hear of a lot. Listen, I'm a little bit of an expert in the when it comes to the superheroes and the comic book stories, right? Exactly. Not a lot of guys are powered, or gals, I should say, are powered by their appendix. Yes. Not a lot. That's usually not how the X-Men roll, I got to be honest.
Appendix bullet. Anyways, it's not going to catch on.
I know surgery is tough, but I want my appendix and gallbladder taken out immediately before they explode on me. I've had people in my life both have those things. Not pleasant at all.
Yikes. Hey, then maybe we shouldn't be, pushing the 4 to 6 week recovery time, I mean, let the man his time, get back and
heal Adam up. Dunn came back in like 7 days.
Yeah, and how'd that go for him?
It didn't go well. He hit like 11 home runs that year for the season. It was terrible.
But he felt okay. I mean, like, the body, like, that's the thing that's amazing, right? Like, you can be perfectly healthy and only hit 7 home runs.
Oh, I'll hit zero when I'm perfectly healthy.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I think we all would confidently hit zero home runs if we took 500 plate appearances in a season. So no worries on that. Why don't we wrap this up? We got a game tomorrow, a post game, more White Sox versus Guardians baseball. Very, very excited. The White Sox kind of got off easy, though, because Josh Naylor left this game in the around the fifth or sixth inning with a pulled leg, hip.
Yeah.
Tight. They called it a tight leg. Tight leg.
Tight leg.
Tightness. Yeah. Yeah. They did not call it a tight leg. They called it leg tightness. I called it a tight leg.
A tight leg. We've all been there before. We have more.
And no Jose Ramirez. Hey.
That's what I was trying to say.
We don't play. They got no Jose Ramirez. We have no Eloy Jimenez. Evened out. Oh. Now they feel a little pain. How we felt without no Aloy.
Mike Clevinger versus Peyton Battenfield tomorrow, and then Dylan Cease versus one of the many Logan Allens on the Cleveland Guardians.
Oof. Hey, just remember this for tomorrow. New nickname for the Guardians pitcher. Peyton Love is a Battenfield. There you go.
Perfect.
I like that. Thank you, Pat Benatar. You can follow Pat Benatar on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO. It's ex-beat writer. And go read his latest piece at allchgo.com. You snapping?
Oh, we are young.
Oh, okay. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at ectorwall23.
The community leader.
White Sox community leader.
No one could tell us we're wrong.
The only community leader in all of CHGO.
Hey, he does it very proudly. Thank you to Joey Spathis for producing the show. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to everybody for hanging out with us in the chat. We're at Jackie Robinson likes. Maybe we get up to Jose Contreras, 52. I don't think that's too much to ask for, right? He was 52. Or is he 50? Was he? I don't
know. Yeah, it sounds 52. That sounds right.
52, 50? Any guess?
Yeah, it sounds right.
Okay.
55 was Rodon. I know that.
All right. Maybe we'll get to Carlos Rodon likes at 55. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow for the post game between Mike Clevinger and Peyton Love is a Battenfield. Talk to you then. Go Sox.